And this is Winners on RSN 927 at 18 past 10 this Monday edition as we review all the weekend's action from Flemington, where we had some key races with the running of the Talon Dirt for the two-year-olds, the Vanity and the CS Hayes for three-year-olds who were likely to head towards the Guineas, and of course the big group one at weight for age level, the 1,000-metre Black Caviar Lightning. And joining us from the trial files is Matt Welsh. How are you, Matt?
Very well, Nadia, and what a fantastic weekend of racing we had at Flemington. And that Lightning with Red Kirk Warrior diving late to beat Red Zell was just exhilarating. So fabulous racing, good times. They ran across the day. So I think this will be a meeting we need to follow with some detail going forward.
Interesting. I think the first thought was the way that the straight played. Usually we've seen this distinct bias to head to that outside fence, and that wasn't the case on Saturday.
No, I think the straight played pretty well. The three races were, two of them were one in lane nine and the other one a little bit further out, which was Red Kirk Warrior. I think wind probably played a part. It was very light southerlies, so it didn't have a big impact on the races. And one of the straight races, they went very slowly. That was the race that Nasdex led up that Ken's Dream won. But the other two were solidly run, and I think the best horses won.
Well, let's talk a bit about some of the betting action, and Nick will join us later in the program live, but we've got some fluctuations to pass on from the tab. In the first race, this was the running of the Talon Dirt, which was a listed two-year-old event, and as far as some of the moves in this race, what did the punters come for here, Matt?
Well, they came for the winner, Prairie Fire, who was $5 into $4.40. Kulasa was well backed up until about, well, the morning of race morning. She was in as short as $3.50 from opening $4.60. She was a drifter as they got closer to the race, but not a noted drifter. There was good money for the first starter, Nuclear Blitz, $8.50 into $6. But the tail of the betting really revolved around Piero Bell. First starter for the Tony McAvoy yard. She'd trialled the same day as Kinky Boom over in Adelaide. Big boom on her, and she was $2.90 out to $7. And I think if they'd have jumped 5 minutes later, she probably starts double figures. She, of course, missed the kick slightly, and she was never in the race. So that was a telling betting move, and certainly one of note.
It was a very interesting betting move there. Well, let's talk a bit about the way they ran this down the straight. They did go at a fairly genuine clip.
Yeah, they went at a decent clip, and they've run a good time for the 1,100 metres. Really good win this by Prairie Fire. I noted last week that I thought a horse could jump out of this Talon Dirt and back up and be very competitive in a Blue Diamond. And I think this Mick Price-trained colt can be. He jumped okay, settled in the second half of the field, got cover for probably 200 or 300 metres of the race. Mark Zara was riding him along a fair way out. He is clearly a horse looking for 1,200 and maybe even 1,400 metres in time, but just loved his last 200. His action, just exceptional. He extended beautifully. So I think he's the horse to beat in the Blue Diamond next week if he has a good week on the track. This was a brilliant win. Kulasa ran second, this Team Hayes trained filly. She did a good job. She was closer to the inside, which maybe in the straight races wasn't 100% the place to be, but she had every chance. She ran well, and she came into that race off a six-week break, so I'd expect if she backed up within 2 or 3 weeks, she'd be very hard to beat. Nuclear Blitz is a horse that I think will get better as she gets further into her campaign. She's a very big filly. As I mentioned, she was well-tried late in betting, and she paraded very well. I just think with that size that she has, she'll benefit from a couple of runs and a bit of fitness under her belt. So I think second and third up, she's a horse to follow. It was interesting that Invincible Lad, who'd led at its previous couple of starts for Peter and Paul Snowden, was asked to take a sit on Saturday, ran quite well into third. So the winner is very smart, Nadia. Piero Bell, punters sort of left to scratch their heads there. Apparently hit the barrier, I think, coming out of the stalls and might have had an issue.
Yeah, there is a veterinary report after the race that stewards have said that the horse has pulled up lame in the off hind, so that might just be something that we've got to take note of.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one other worth mentioning, I think, here is Rubina. Got held up probably until about 300 metre mark. Sprinted really well when clear. Might be a horse to follow up to 1,400 metres in time. But I've got a big opinion of this winner, Prairie Fire. I think he can win the Blue Diamond next week. And it was a great way to start the program.
Okay, well, that's a big thought in itself. So a very strong form line through the two-year-old race, the Talon Dirt race number one. We now have a look at the second. This was over 2,000. It was an 84. And this was a fairly open betting race. What were some of the key changes in this?
Yeah, there was good money for the bottom horse, Midas Man. He opened $31 on Wednesday when markets first went up, ended up jumping seven. So that was a really good push for the Robbie Kingston-trained horse who'd won at Moonee Valley the start prior and did run quite well indeed. The Mighty J-Rod, the winner, attracted a little bit of support at different times throughout betting, but ultimately was $7 out to $12. Imperator Augustus was a noted drifter as favourite. Mr. Churchill attracted a bit of support. And Cartoon was well backed late. Dean Lester gave this horse a really good push on Saturday and it ran quite well. It was $15 into $9.50. But look, this was a fantastic ride by Chris Caserta on the Mighty J-Rod. You won't see many better front-running rides than this. The horse was having its seventh run for the preparation, so he was really fit. And what Chris did is he made the other horses work throughout the race. He found the front. He ran very consistent sectionals, just sort of either side of 12 seconds for each 200-metre sectional. And that meant every other horse had to do a plenty of work to keep in touch, and none of them were as fit as the Mighty J-Rod. So he really used this horse's tactical advantage to best use. And, yeah, I thought it was one of the best rides of the day, Nadia. I've labelled Cry If I Want To, who finished third here, one of the horses to follow out of the meeting. This horse was only third up on Saturday, had won very well the start prior. I think if it gets out to 2,400 metres next start, fourth up, I think is ready to win. It was a really good run, and with a little bit more luck in the straight, probably would have been right there with the winner.
Exactly. It's important to take note, too, that that horse, of course, was scratched from a listed race in Adelaide on Saturday as well, so might be one to follow long-term. But we go to the third, 1,400-metre 84. This was for fillies and mares. What happened here with the betting in this, Matt?
Yes, well, punters were all over Spanish Reef. The winner was first up. We hadn't had an official trial or any sort of jump out. We could gauge how this horse was going, but punters, well, some punters certainly latched right onto it. It was $8 into $4.40, and she was easily the best-backed runner in the race. Sharing was a noted drifter, $2.60 on Friday, got out to $3.60 at the jump, and I suspect a lot of that was probably to do with the map as well. She'd drawn gate one, and she is a mare who needs to get back in her races, so that barrier looked very awkward for her. I think that would explain the drift. Mamzelle Tess was reasonably solid, had opened, it was $4.60 on Friday, ended up jumping $4.80, so pretty solid there. And Miss Adequate was a bit of a drifter down the bottom, ended up running second. But yeah, all the money was with the winner, Nadia, Spanish Reef.
Okay, so Spanish Reef was the one that the punters come for there. It was run at a fairly genuine tempo as well. We look at race number four here, Matt. This was a 1,600-metre 84 event. What happened here as far as fluctuations? The main fancy ended up winning the race in Kingswood Dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Just quickly, I'll go back to that race three, Nadia, just to talk about the race, because mm-hmm. it was probably one of the best races on the day, to be okay. honest. Spanish Reef has turned in arguably the performance on the card. There were four 1,400 metre races on the day, and she's run the fastest time of the lot. They've gone out in pretty fast sectionals, and she's sat three deep, close enough to that speed. She was working hard. So to do this first up, she is a mare going places. She's one of the horses we can definitely follow going forward. I'd suggest she's going to end up in stakes racing as the distances get longer this preparation. It was just an outstanding return. Miss Adequate was coming out of a benchmark 58 race into this 84. She had no weight on her back, but she led them up at a really fast clip. She did a stack of work in the run. Her effort to hang on and run second was excellent. She can drop down all the way down to 64 grade or even 70 grade next start and be just about immoral, I would have thought. And Ma Jones was fantastic closing off first up. She ran a very quick 10.84 sectional from the 400 to the 200. She ran the eighth best last 1,200 metre split on the day. Just tired a little bit the last 200, but wherever Ma Jones heads next, she's going to be very hard to beat second up. And that was off a 9-month break. So fantastic return by that Darren Weir-trained mare, Ma Jones.
Exactly. So a strong rating race won by Spanish Reef, race number three. Looking at the fourth race, this was run under a totally different speed scenario, the 84-1600. And Kingswell Dream was the popular horse in betting too here, Matt.
Yeah, certainly was. He was very well backed. He's unbeaten in Australia and open to $2.15, jumped $2.05. So very good support. He was, I think, the shortest price favorite, or outside of Red Zell, the shortest price favorite on the card. There was a fair bit of money to suggest that Sin to Win would run well fresh. This is a stayer resuming for David Hayes and Tom Dabenig. So he was 18 in, 15 into $8, but all the support was with the winner, King's World Dream.
It was. It was a race that they didn't go that hard to the first section.
No, they certainly didn't. This was Downhearted led them up. He was on the back up from an 1,800-metre race at Caulfield last week. And once again, as soon as he found the front, they dropped anchor on this horse. I'm not sure if they're worried about him running out the trip or what the tactics are, but just sort of let the others stay too close to him. He gave away his advantage to the 800 from the 1,000 metre to the 800 metre point. He ran 12.55 seconds, which is just a little bit slow, I think, in this class and at a mile. So I think he was a little bit disadvantaged and did a good job Downhearted to hang on and run as well as he did. The winner now, it's interesting, King's World Dream. He's been in three races in Australia and all of them have been very slowly run. So all we've seen him really do is dash up for, you know, 400 metres and 600 metres. He's gone from a win at 1,200 up to 1,400 and now up to a mile. But he's going to have to go into a stronger grade race next start. And I think he's a bit of a risk. He hasn't been in a high-pressure race yet. He maybe hasn't had a chance to build that fitness base that he's going to need at a strongly run mile when stepping up in class next time. So while he looked to do it easily, I am a little bit concerned about the fact that he's been in three very slowly run races, Nadia.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And for a lot of people that don't quite understand the logic in what you're saying is it can be a totally different performance of a horse when they do get into an unfamiliar race shape. And he has been able to conserve so much early energy due to the way the races have been run in those three Australian wins. Yes, they've been good, but you'd just like to see him off of a real genuine tempo.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And especially if they plan to keep stepping him up in trip, we really don't know if he can stay a genuine miler yet. Saturday hasn't told us anything. So just from a punter's perspective, he's obviously going to keep going around short prices because he's unbeaten in Australia from the all-conquering Darren Weir stable. He's going to, wherever he goes next, he's going to turn up very short in the market. So I'd just be a little bit wary. Clearly, he's got talent. He's got a very nice action. Yeah, he's just a horse I want to keep an eye on when he turns up next start because there is a chance he'll turn up under the odds.
Definitely. Let's have a look at race five. This was the benchmark 90, 1,200 metres the journey. And as far as the betting here, they really warmed towards Handsome Thief in the race. It was quite well supported.
Yeah, Handsome Thief was very well backed in pre-post betting or sort of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Just held his mark, maybe a late drift closer to the race, which is when the big money really entered the pool. And the late go was for Nasdaq's here. It was $7.50 at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Has ended up going around $4.60. And this horse is an on-pacer who was going from 1,000 up to 1,200 metres. So I suggest the big teams probably labelled him the leader and thought he might be able to get away with an easy time of it out in front, Nadia.
Okay, so yeah, it was an interesting scenario down the straight. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago too, Matt, with the speed of a lot of these straight races. Some of them just simply end up being a dash home, and this was one of them.
Yeah, this was a very, very, very slowly run race. They went out in 26 seconds for the first 400, which was far slower than any other race on the day. Even the Mighty J-Rod in the 2,000-metre race went out about 8 lengths quicker for the first 400 metres. So it was just a dash up. There was about 3 lengths covering the field as they came to the 400 metre mark. So it was simply a matter of which horse has the best turn of foot. And Ken's Dream, a few runs into a preparation, is that horse. He'd won very well down the straight, 2 starts back over 1,100 metres. He'd run well in the Australia Stakes. And he obviously loves this straight track. He got out into that middle section of the track and was just far too good for them. So that slow tempo really disadvantaged Nasdaq's, who was the leader. I imagine they were trying to go as slowly as possible to get him to see out the 1,200 because he had been doing his racing at 1,000 and 1,100 metres. But having gone so slowly and keeping all those back markers as close as he did in the run, he was always going to be left a sitting shot. And that was the case on Saturday. The Henry Dwyer trained runner who has run second here, and Lucky Liberty did a very good job late. Third up, I think he'll be ready to win at 1,200 metres now. That was an excellent performance. Portman was first up for Danny O'Brien. This horse did everything that he needed to. He won second up at 1,400 metres last preparation, and I suspect he's on track to do exactly the same this campaign. It was a very nice return from him. So they were the main players in the race. I think Ken's Dream has won the race. I saw some talk that he might be going to, or potentially a lightweight chance for a new market on the back of this. I would suggest that this run was visually more appealing than potentially it was, because all they've done is dashed up the last 400. So I'd be wary of the form going forward, but I do think stepping up to 1,400 metres, Portman is certainly worth following next start.
Okay, so Portman one to follow, just getting up in trip, and we saw the horse last preparation was very competitive. Where it's 24 to 11, and we are reviewing all the action from Flemington on Saturday with the trial files at Matt Welsh. And Matt, we're up to some of the real cream now. We start off with race number 6, which was the Vanity, the Group 3 race for 3-year-old fillies. There were a few chances in the betting. What were some of the key tails as far as fluctuations?
Well, the most interesting move, Nadia, was certainly Aloysia, who opened $2.20 on Wednesday, and she ended up jumping $4.40. So punters certainly took note of her trials and work leading into it, and the fact that she was probably a little bit underdone, and I don't think Aaron Purcell had made any secret of the fact that she may benefit from the run. So she was $2.20 out to $4.40. Contrary to that, Rimran opened $41 on Wednesday and has jumped $7.50, so they certainly got her right. She was very well backed. There was good support for Bring Me Roses in the lead up to race day. She was $12 into $7, and then on race day when the big money came in, she was $7 out to $12. Paris Rock was reasonably firm around the $5 mark and jumped near favourite there, just slightly short of Aloysia. She was second favourite, and Shakura was $10 into $7 on race day, and Neurotic was the other one that was well back. She was $14 at 6 a.m. on Saturday and ended up jumping $7.50. So I think it was the case of punters didn't want to be anywhere near Aloysia at the $2.20. The tab probably had to open her up short because she's obviously on form, the best horse in the race, but punters took that as an opportunity to back plenty of other runners, and Rimram was certainly one of the best backed.
Well, we'll discuss her first, Aloysia, because she was, fair to say, one of the benchmark, if not the benchmark, three-year-old through the spring. You had a look at her through the trial. You can see what they're doing with her. They're just bringing her along a bit quieter this preparation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's obviously heading to Sydney. She's run very well here for mine, given her fitness. She ran the fourth best last 1,000-metre section on the card. You could see in the yard she was certainly going to benefit from whatever she did. She's paraded quite big. She looked reasonably big in her trial a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, that's Aaron Purcell, no doubt, keeping a bit of conditioner on her for a long preparation. She's not a tall filly. She's not a huge filly. So I think they've got bigger goals in mind down the track. And considering where she was in her preparation, she's run very well to close off and run fifth. And, you know, she was doing her best work on the line. So whether she's going to be ready second up over the 1,600 metres of the Guineas, or it'll be third up when she heads up to Sydney, I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, I think she's come back in good order. Maybe just a touch behind where she was first up last campaign, Nadia.
Yeah, okay. So be interesting to see where she does end up, but she's definitely a quality animal. What else have you taken out of the race?
Well, Rimrun, you know, great ride from Damien Oliver here. This was one of the best rides of the day. He saved plenty of ground on this filly. What I noted from the jump outs leading into this campaign is she looked very forward in her jump out. She performed nicely there. She was off the bit a fair way from home, but she'd saved that ground, and Damien Oliver was just able to come over the leader's heels and, you know, had the most economical run in transit. She's gone well. She's no doubt she's looking for a mile and further, and I think she's come back a good quality filly. And, you know, these fillies going from the spring three-year-old year through to the autumn, also portion of the season, through the autumn portion of the season, they can make rapid improvement very quickly. So we need to be very mindful of how they've gone first up, because that's a sign of how they've spelled, how they've developed. And whilst these horses are growing, they are open to making big improvement, and she certainly is one of them. Bring Me Roses was another one who jumped out very well. I think she's gone excellently here in second. Paris Rock's probably found her level now at this part of her campaign. She might be ready for a spell and come back in the spring. And she's certainly up to this class of race, but she's had a big sort of first campaign there. And Shakora was well-backed and hit the line very well. Another one worth mentioning is Shagra. She went around $41, but she had very little luck in sixth, and I think she would have been right in the finish if things went her way. She is ready to win a race. She's a horse who gets back. I'd love to see her draw an outside gate next start, but Shagra's gone very well as well, Nadia.
Okay, so the key chances out of the Vanity for the fillies. Let's have a look at the CSAs. This was the 1400-metre Group 3 race for the three-year-old colts and geldings. What were some of the key moves from a betting front here? It was a very open race.
It was a very open race throughout betting. The winner, Grunt, was well backed. They put up $13 on Wednesday, and he has ended up jumping $6.50 and was equal second. Third favourite at that price. Sorry, Peaceful State and Cliff's Edge for Darren Weir have jumped $6 favourite. They were both drifters from their opening quote. The Kiwi runner Embellish was $10 into $7.50 on race day and quite well tried. Sully was reasonably firm at around $10. Main stage also for Trent Busson and Natalie Young there at $26. But look, it was a very open betting race. I think there was a number of different opinions heading into it, and it was a fantastic contest.
It was a fantastic contest, and let's talk a little bit about the speed scenario. They did run along at a pretty good clip, pretty similar though to what we saw in the Vanity.
Yeah, they did. They've gone three lengths quicker overall time than the Vanity. But Chow Chow took up the running as we expected. He had fitness on his side. He'd gone along at a good clip when he'd won the start prior at 1,400 metres. Cliff's Edge ended up sitting three wide outside that speed. Brad Willer just had him in a lovely rhythm. He's a horse who likes to race up on speed, and he did a really good job to hang on and run second. The winner, Grunt, sat right behind Cliff's Edge in the run, three wide with cover, and this was back-to-back brilliant rides by Damien Oliver, because he knew exactly who his main opposition was in Cliff's Edge, and he seized the opportunity just to track that horse into the race. I think Grunt is a horse who will like racing in his own room. He's a big horse. He's a lovely long-striding horse, and that was a perfect ride from Damien Oliver. I think these two are clearly the horses to beat next week on 2 weeks' time in the Guineas. I'll probably have a slight leaning to Cliff's Edge, especially if he can draw a gate and probably just be outside the leader as opposed to three deep. He's a very tough horse, and that was an excellent run. Main stage was huge late. He got held up badly coming around the home bend in the early part of the straight. He had to make a ducking and weaving run, and he's closed off to run fourth. And in another couple of bounds, he's right up there with, he's run third anyway in another couple of bounds. And that was an excellent run and return from main stage. He's made great improvement into his three-year-old year. He had trialled quite well leading into that as well. Embellish, the Kiwi horse, had every chance, I thought, was just plain in running sixth. I think we can certainly follow the first two over the line. I think main stage has made really good improvement. And although finishing 10th, I thought Eshterart closed off okay. The other one worth mentioning is Peaceful State, who'd had a big boom on it off a Sandown win. I thought that Sandown win, the sectionals and the times were just fair. I think he's probably struggled to take that step up in grade at this point in his campaign. Might be another 6 months away from being at the top level, Nadia.
Okay, so that's a look at the three-year-old races. We now go through the big one, which was the Group 1 Black Caviar Lightning. The betting, we had Red Zell, an odds-on favourite. Was there much movement in this with the tab?
Look, there certainly wasn't much movement where Red Zell was concerned. Opened $1.75 on Wednesday, touched $1.85 on Saturday morning at one point. That was at 10 a.m. Jumped $1.75. So he was extremely firm as favourite. Red Kirk Warrior, the eventual winner, traded between $10 and $11 and jumped $11. So not a huge amount of money there. You could argue that Formality was well back late, was $12 at 4:03 on Saturday and has jumped $9. So there was good money for the filly, who ultimately ran tailed off last, but good money there for her. And there wasn't a huge amount of movement outside of that, Nadia. So Red Zell certainly held court and headed the market at $1.75.
Looked to have the race 1-2 until Red Kirk Warrior was able to put in the late surge. They've ran pretty much close to pass speed here for the track and class.
Yeah, they've run very good time. I mean, Red Zell's broken 10 seconds for all four 200-metre sectionals outside of the first 200. So he's gone at a beautiful clip. I don't think Kieran McAvoy could have done anything more on the day. He's gone enormous as $1.75 favourite. Unfortunately for punters, he's gone under. But, I couldn't knock Red Zell, and I certainly think he's a horse better at 1,200 metres. So I would love to see him in the Newmarket because I think he'd be the horse to beat. Red Kirk Warrior, what was noticeable is just how well he settled in the run. I went back and watched a few of his replays from previous campaigns, and he's always been quite keen in the run, but they put the blinkers on Saturday for the first time, and he just settled beautifully for Regan Bayless. He had that cover in behind horses. He was exposed as late as possible, and, you know, what was so evident is he was still on the bridle with 100 and probably 175 metres to go. He just cruised into the race, and once Regan Bayless pushed the go button, he just worked through his gears beautifully. His action looked magnificent, and he was covering the ground so quickly. So it was a magnificent return, and I think the blinkers have done wonders here because the horse was just so settled early, as I say. And, he too is going to be very hard to beat up to the 1,200 metres of the Newmarket. Both Cepedo and Miss Rock loomed into the race like they were going to be chances. I think Cepedo probably was exposed for the whole 1,000 metres, which probably cost it finishing a little bit closer, but they've both gone extremely well. And Rock Magic was the other one I thought went quite well. Closest to the inside, which, you know, was probably slightly inferior to where the winners and the place getters were. I thought he ran very well, so certainly worth following up to 1,200 metres. But a great contest, a great race, a brilliant ride by Regan Bayless just to hold his energy for as long as possible on Red Kirk Warrior, and what an explosive finish it was.
It was. It was a great finish, and horses got a real affiliation for the straight at Flemington. We go to race nine, the last 1,400 metre race, and obviously off of an impressive victory at Caulfield Prime, and Manolo Blahnik was sent out favourite.
Yeah, Manolo Blahnik was very well backed and opened, $3.70 on Wednesday, jumped $3.10. Very well supported, as you say, off that good win at Caulfield the start prior. Run Sun was probably the best back late. Was $8 on race morning, jumped $5. So arguably he was the best supported runner going to the barriers. A little bit of support around for Rapidol as well, who was first up for Mike Moroney, was $16 into $9.50, Nadia.
Okay, so that's a look at the fluctuations. They ran this at a fairly even speed.
They ran it at an even speed. What was notable is a few of those back in the field got a fair way off the bunny here. I thought that Manolo Blahnik was probably a pair further back than they needed to be, and ultimately that's cost him and also Rapidol a chance of winning. They've both run extremely well. They ran very good late sectionals, so I think they're going well, both of those horses, and they can be followed. Brilliant ride by Stephanie Thornton here on Coldstone. Got into the 1-1 early. Rode a little bit aggressively to make sure she held that 1-1, and that was the tail of the race. She was close enough on the home bend on Coldstone, and he was very good, won well. Shammy Road ran honestly again, as he continues to do. Saraceno led them up, knocked up a little bit late. I thought probably had every chance up on speed. Kingsguard also ran well, but I think we can keep following Manolo Blahnik. I'd love to see him step up to 1,600 metres now. I don't think that win a couple back at Caulfield was any fluke, and probably the barrier 12 and just getting a pair further back than expected brought him undone, and Rapidol's obviously gone very well there, fresh for Mike Moroney.
Definitely. We'll take a break. This is Winners on RSN 927. It's 11 to 11.